And my apologies for the delayed start. Well, first of all, I got stuck behind a moron on Upper Sheep Pasture Road, but I won't even get started with that. 10-minute ride took 25 minutes, but never mind. It's not important. It's not worth getting into, and, you know, in 20 years, I probably won't even remember it. But I was busy just now going through tonight's Tommy Chong tribute just to make sure it was clean, because you have to do that. You have to make sure that, you know, those words don't go out. And in fact, yes, it is clean. And I'm proud and privileged and pleased to present tonight the musical Tommy Chong tribute as a part of our weekly tribute until Tommy Chong gets released from prison for selling bongs on the internet. And I'm told that will be sometime in early July. I believe that's correct. More information at www.freetommychong.org. I guess subconsciously I believe he's already free, so you don't need that word. In any event, we have an interesting show for you tonight, so stay tuned. Here's the Tommy Chong musical tribute.
Up in smoke, that's where my money goes. In my lungs, sometimes up my nose. When troubled times begin to bother me, I take a toke and all my cares go up in smoke.
Up in smoke, donde todo es libre. There are no signs que dicen no fume. So I roll un bummer y me doy un buen toque. Después I choke y todo mis cares go up in smoke. Hay gente que se mortifica all the time. Se hacen viejos antes de su tiempo. But I say, arrebata all the gustos you can find. Porque all the time, get high time.
Come on, let's go get high.
Up in smoke, that's where I wanna be. Cause when I'm high, the world below don't bother me. When life begins to be one long and dangerous road,
oh yeah, and that's Cheech and Chong from the title track to the film Up in Smoke, and a musical rendition of that, of course, as part of our tribute to Tommy Chong. Well, the program is off the wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next, 52 minutes or so, as we talk about what's going on in the world. And interesting, I just got back from Dayton. Well, I didn't just get back from Dayton. I got back yesterday, Monday. And on the way, we're a bunch of us in the 2600 van. On the way, we had no fewer than 3 iPods. And if you don't know what an iPod is, it's basically an MP3 player that can store all kinds of any kind of music you want to give it, but a lot of material. The one I had can store 20 gigs. There was another, I think, that could store 15 and another 10, which no matter what you know about computers, that's a lot. For music, that's an awful lot. Basically, we could travel across the country, across many countries, and never hear the same song twice. It's really pretty cool, and a lot better than listening. Well, I don't want to say listening to the radio, because obviously then you wouldn't hear things like this. And while that might be something to some people, it would be a loss to others. And there's always interesting things to hear on the radio in various parts of the country. Sometimes you might not agree with what you're hearing. Sometimes it might just make you swerve off the road. But in the 2600 van, which makes a whole lot of noise when it moves, it's not really an option. Plus, there's no radio in it. So this is a perfect opportunity to listen to the music of your choice. And what I'm getting at with all this is that the iPod has this randomized feature, and it just basically picks one out of ever how many thousands of songs it has stored in it. And for some reason, this iPod really liked Phil Oakes. Now, we closed the show with Phil Oakes last week, and I'd like to open with a song that my iPod selected for me as I was driving across Pennsylvania. And as I was listening to this song playing, I was realizing how apropos it really is to today. You know, I listened to the song a few years ago, and I thought it was a bit harsh, maybe not undeservedly so, but something that people would have trouble identifying with if they didn't read the news every day and explore what's going on in the world. But I think today, after what we've been reading and hearing and seeing in the world news, I think more people than ever will listen to this song and say, wow, yeah, that's right, that's how it is. And it's just another indication of how history keeps coming back to bite us in the ass. Without any further ado, here's a piece my iPod selected from Phil Oakes, and we'll get into the show right after that.
Come get out of the way, boys. Quick, get out of the way. You'd better watch what you say, boy. Better watch what you say. We've rammed in your harbor and tied to your port, and our pistols are hungry and our tempers are short. So bring your daughters around to the fore, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. We pick and choose as we please, boys. Pick and choose as we please. You'd best get down on your knees, boys. Best get down on your knees. We're hairy and horny and ready to shack, and we don't care if you're yellow or black. Just take off your clothes and lay down on your back. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. Our boots are needing a shine, boys. Boots are needing a shine. But our Coca-Cola is fine, boys. Coca-Cola is fine. We've got to protect all our citizens fair. So we'll send a battalion for everyone there, and maybe we'll leave in a couple of years. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And dump the reds in a pile, boys. Dump the reds in a pile. You'd better wipe off that smile, boy. Better wipe off that smile. We'll spit through the streets of the cities we wreck, and we'll find you a leader that you can elect. Those treaties we signed were a pain in the neck. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And clean the Johns with a rag, boys. Clean the Johns with a rag. If you like
You can use your flag, boys, if you like. You can use your flag. We've got too much money, we're looking for toys. And guns will be guns, and boys will be boys. But we'll gladly pay for all we destroy. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. Please stay off of the grass, boys. Please stay off of the grass. Here's a kick in the ass, boys. Here's a kick in the ass. We'll smash down your doors, we don't bother to knock. We've done it before, so why all the shock? We're the biggest and the toughest kids on the block. And we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And when we butchered your sons, boys, when we butchered your sons, have a stick of our gum, boys, have a stick of our bubble gum. We own half the world, oh say can you see, and the name for our profits is democracy. So like it or not, you will have to be free. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world.
And very sincere thank you to my iPod for opening up my eyes about that song, which I hadn't heard in quite a few years, by Phil Oakes, the late, great Phil Oakes. I wonder, you know, if he was around today, I'll bet he'd have a lot more material, a lot more really good material. There seems to be a lack of that. You know, we certainly cannot fault the government for giving us inspiration. You know, there's all kinds of material that could be produced as a result of all the things that are going on in the world. Where is it, you know? Where are the Phil Oakes and the Dylans of today? Oh, I know. Folk music isn't in style. But once you start singing about things that affect people on a day-to-day basis in the present day, well, all of a sudden it starts to become relevant again. Of course, you know, the problem you're going to face is where is it going to get played? With every single radio station being owned by the same corporation, might as well be, really might as well be. Obviously, you're not going to get airplay on commercial radio stations, and as a result, no one's going to hear it, right? Wrong! People are going to hear it all the time because of file sharing, because of the internet, and because of non-commercial radio stations like this one right here. So if you're sitting around your ass wondering why this music doesn't exist, go out and create it. Because people will hear it. We'll see to that. Anyway, so if anyone knows of stuff that's out there already, please feel free to pass it along. And by pass it along, I don't mean send me pirated music over the internet. Not saying people should do that, but I am saying that if you want someone to hear something, that might be the best way to get them to hear it so that they'll go out and find a copy. I always prefer to have the CD myself so I can carry it around and play it in our antiquated equipment here at the radio station. That's right, all the music you hear on this radio program comes from CDs that I've probably gone out and purchased on my own at very high inflated prices. Anyway, so that was Cops of the World by Phil Oakes. I said the late, great Phil Oakes. He committed suicide in Rockaway a number of years ago. And, you know, that's part of the problem of getting involved with the issues. Sometimes you just take them way too seriously and they get to you. Of course, I'm not entirely sure that's why he killed himself. Could be all kinds of personal reasons as well. But a lot of people who get involved with what's going on in the world get really depressed, because what's going on in the world really sucks. There's no question about that. But I think that it can be offset if you talk to people that you can communicate with, that understand your point of view, and even if they don't completely agree with it, at least they respect it. I think that makes all the difference in the world. If you feel like you're alone, nobody understands where you're coming from, you're simply this voice in the darkness, well, yeah, of course, it's going to be all the worse. So it's important for people to talk about these things, what's bothering them, what's on their minds, and for us to take people seriously. But not get all crazy over this. Not let it get us down and keep us from living our lives, because that's essential. And boy, I got to tell you, you know, today we live in very interesting times. I know I always say that, but we do. This war is really going to be a pivotal point in history. I'm certain of that. Don't know which way it's going to go, how things are going to change exactly, but one thing I do know is this is history in the making, and we're here at the forefront of it. And I think what we say and what we do, what we don't say and what we don't do, will play a very big part in what eventually happens. So anyway, with all that out of the way, as I said, I was in Dayton, and the music that I heard at that particular point in time was about all the news, as it were, that I exposed myself to, even though that was recorded, 20, 30 years ago. It still seemed relevant to today. But, you know, I haven't been paying attention to what's been going on in the world, and it's kind of a relief in some ways. I don't recommend doing that all the time. There are people out there who simply love to boast about the fact that they don't listen to the news. In fact, our president is one of them. He doesn't read newspapers. Yeah, he doesn't read the newspaper. That's just great. That's brilliant. But, you know, among the populace, to be proud of the fact that you don't know what's going on in the world because, well, it's all bad news. You know, it might be a form of self-preservation to not expose yourself to bad things, but it's also a way to really give ammunition to the people who cause these bad things, because there will be one less person out there challenging them. So, while it's good to get away from it for a little while, which is what I've been doing, it's not good to stay away from it. Unless, you know, you're out on a safari or something, and or exploring another planet, you really do need to know what's going on, not only in your country, but in countries around the world. It's quite essential. A lot depends on it. So I encourage people to read newspapers, and yes, watch the news. Even though the news is presented by Disney and other such corporations, it's one glance in, and there are others that you can find if you look for them. You just have to seek them out, but they're there. But you have to make the effort. And yeah, I know, TV is evil, but come on already, let's get over it. It's a medium. And I'm really sick of people who go around saying that they don't watch television because it's bad. No, it's not bad. There's a big difference between TV and television, for one thing. TV is the stupid stuff, the reality shows, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know, the stupid sitcoms, the plastic news, you know, all that, and the commercials, of course. But hidden within all of that, there are some really good things that deserve to be looked at and seen and analyzed. And it's a form of education. It's a form of reaching people in much the same way that newspapers, radio, books. Imagine someone walked up to you and said proudly, I don't read books. Actually, you know what? That's not such a fantasy, is it? There are people that do that. Okay, fine. But my point is that you can't judge the medium because of the crap that's transmitted using that medium. You can judge, you know, the people who program that particular crap, I guess. But dismiss it all, well, I think you're just shortchanging yourself, because you'll wind up being as ignorant as that guy in the White House who doesn't read newspapers. And that might be a relief, I guess, to some degree, but in the end, it's a handicap. So yeah, Dayton. I went out to Dayton, as I try to do every year. I didn't do it last year, but Dayton is basically the site of an annual ham fest. They call it the Hamvention. I think you go to hamvention.org, you can find out all about it. And it takes place every May in the city of Dayton, Ohio. And usually a bunch of us just kind of pile into the 2600 van and bring out a whole bunch of back issues and t-shirts and various other bits of merchandise. And for 3 days, we just have a ball out there wandering around this huge parking lot that's pretty much given over to all the people who come there. Ham radio people. Boy, what a crowd. What a crowd. We have about maybe 50,000 people showing up to these things from all over the world, literally. And they just basically spend 3 days looking for things. I don't know how else to describe it. They're out there looking for little obscure pieces of electronics or books or, in our case, magazines and clothing. And also just meeting people from all over the place that share similar interests. And there are all kinds of parallels between the hacker world and the ham world. You know, it's that spirit of curiosity, it's that spirit of innovation, playing with technology, doing something different, figuring out a way to make something work, and figuring out ways to make things break. Goes with the territory. But it's a different kind of crowd. It's a very different kind of crowd, and I know a lot of people here are afraid of different things. Yes, we say other people are afraid of different things. Do we ever really think that we might be afraid of different things? Going to Ohio, of seeing people who come from a different way of life. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how many so-called open-minded people are so quick to dismiss an entire state or an entire region of the country. I found some of the coolest people out there in Ohio, some of the most enlightened people out there. And you know, you have to think about it. What it's like growing up, say, in a small town in the Midwest someplace, for you to somehow know what's going on in the music world, what's going on news-wise, for you to have alternative opinions, and just to be willing to listen to other ideas. I think it counts more somehow than when it's constantly hitting you in the face everywhere you go, as it does, say, in New York City. You know, it's very easy to be alternative in a big city. It's a lot harder in a small town. So I have a lot of respect for people that live in these small places and manage to remain or become an individual. And I guess you can apply that to the small towns around here, too. Yeah, it's always an eye-opener going out there and just hanging out, seeing people. Spent a lot of time in, well, not a lot of time, but at least one night in a bar with a bunch of people from the local area. it was so cool. It really was so cool. I realized, and I said to a couple of people from New York, you know, we're really in Ohio right now. There were people around with all kinds of crazy outfits, you know, literally with a piece of wheat sticking out their teeth and, you know, hats and strange accents. We could barely understand what they're saying. And we had a DJ get up and start playing music saying that, well, when things got a little, you know, grittier later on at night, he was going to play some Jimmy Buffett. And seriously, too. I mean, that wasn't a joke. It's just a different way of life, a totally different way of life, but you have to expose yourself to it. You have to be part of it in some ways. And it's a big country. It's a very big country, and seeing all these other places kind of puts everything into perspective. Dayton's only one city, only one state, and this only happens once a year. But I suggest people, at least if they're going to go someplace and look for something different than they're from around here, that's definitely one trip that's worth making. And, you know, getting on the open road, just driving, a lot of people don't like that, but I find it very soothing. I find it extremely soothing just to be able to get in a vehicle and know that you can keep going and just explore. And it makes it a lot better, obviously, when you can play your own music and have all kinds of other electronic devices. In the 2600 van, we had all kinds of things going. We had computers, we had iPods, had all kinds of cellular technology going. It is now possible, by the way, we didn't do this, but it is now possible for people driving in their cars, virtually any place, but especially on interstate highways, to be able to stream things off of the internet as they're driving. Sprint PCS has a system like that. I think Verizon does as well, where you hook something up to your computer, and it basically uses their network to connect you to the internet. at a speed that certainly is good enough to listen to radio programs like this one. So theoretically, and I'm sure in the future, as people listen to back issues of this particular radio program, you will be able to drive around in your car or truck and actually listen to this radio program as it's being broadcast. I don't know what the delay is, actually. It might take a couple of minutes for it to process and all that kind of thing. But I don't think we have that now. If anyone out there is actually driving around listening to us as they drive around, I'd like to know about it. Write to us, otw@2600.com. I'd really like to hear about that. Right now, of course, a lot of people sit at home in various parts of the world doing that. And that's great. But imagine when you'll be able to simply use the internet as a car radio. I mean, it would put XM and Sirius and all those people to shame because there's so much choice. You can go out and find whatever you want. That doesn't cost anything. Yeah, it's something. I hope to have something like that hooked up soon where I can drive around and listen to all kinds of things. But I think it's really cool when that possibility exists. And that also opens it up so that you can broadcast yourself. You can have a radio program and you can tell the people about it. And if it's any good and if you market it properly, people will find out about it. People will start listening to it. And you won't be going through any of the normal distribution channels. The same way that music, same way that Phil Oaks-type music can be spread around today, even though Clear Channel doesn't like it. You can be a radio programmer, too, and Clear Channel will have nothing to say about it, unless they buy the internet, too, which I guess is possible. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's amazing to think that people like truck drivers, for instance, would be able to listen to Off the Wall or Off the Hook or anything on WUSB and not have to jump through hoops in order to do it. It's getting to the point where it won't be that difficult. Yeah, and truckers, by the way, wow. Just thinking about the open road, of course, there are trucks everywhere. And that is an interesting way of life that I've never actually explored or tried to learn very much more about. They're just a presence on the highways. You see them out there all the time. Oh yeah, you see them here too, but when you go out onto the open road, they're everywhere. You know, these big, massive rigs that you can literally live in. They have beds in the back, all that kind of thing. And they're hauling all kinds of cargo and freight and various things from coast to coast. Of course, I still prefer trains, but that's just me. As long as the truckers are out there, you have to respect them. You have to realize that these guys know the rules. They know how to drive, for one thing. I'm sure they exist, but I've never seen a bad truck driver on the interstate system. I've seen plenty around here, but on the interstate system, they all know the rules. They don't do dangerous things, like a lot of people driving cars do. And they have their own language, their own way of doing things, which is fascinating to watch. Try this. If you're driving down a major highway, it's got to be an interstate, not something near a city, and one of these guys passes you, it's a fun thing to do. Don't do it as a game. It's part of the rules. But basically, you're driving down a highway at nighttime, and a truck passes you in the left lane. As soon as he passes you, assuming there's enough space for him to get in front of you safely, simply flash your lights, or turn them off for a second and turn them back on. And you'll see that he'll flash his lights back at you as a sort of way of saying thanks. He may not go back into your right lane, but he will flash his lights to communicate back. And this kind of thing, I don't know how much more complicated it gets than that. This kind of thing goes on between truckers and car drivers in the know, across all kinds of lanes of traffic. And that's not even counting the CB radios that are out there. Yes, they still exist. People still use the CB to communicate. It's a whole other culture. Again, I know nothing about. I know they use Channel 19. And various other channels. There's 40 altogether. And I guess it's like IRC using voice or something, which is one of the reasons why I'm not very interested in pursuing it. But it's a way of communicating if there's an accident or a cop to avoid or just basically weather conditions, things like that. And you'd be surprised how many people wind up knowing each other or sharing various adventures on the highway as they go from city to city, coast to coast, daytime, nighttime, It's a constant hub of activity. And a lot of people that came to Dayton actually were truckers as well. You meet people that are involved in the phone company, involved in various computer organizations, and a lot of people who just drive rigs back and forth because so many people share interest in this particular field. And that extends to the hacker field as well. You may not think this, but there are lots of people in their 60s and 70s who are very much into computer hacking. Yes, I know it seems strange, but it's true. Yeah, you know, I heard a really kind of funny story. I don't know how it's going to translate on the radio. All right, I'll try my best. But this was in that local bar. In fact, we were talking to some truckers there, and you know, I got to say, never once, not once, anywhere with any group of people, anybody that we were talking to. And keep in mind that our particular group of people that we were with, you know, kind of a alternative-looking group of people, I guess is the best way to say it, never once did we feel at all like outcasts or not welcome or anything like that. It's kind of a stereotype that we fling back at people that we believe are not tolerant of us. We believe that they're not tolerant of anybody. And it's the furthest thing from the truth. I saw many, many conversations between so-called anarchists and so-called right-wingers that were completely pleasant and not at all held back in any way. I think that's the true nature of the way things are, which is a good thing. But yeah, I was talking about CB radios and truckers and that kind of thing, and basically, there's a lot of goofiness that goes on in the world of CB, in the world of trucking, I guess, that you probably don't hear about unless you're part of that whole trucker way of life. And people, you know, I mentioned that CB is kind of like IRC, which is Internet Relay Chat, where people just basically, you know, type whatever's on their minds, and sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. It's kind of like anarchy in a weird way. I don't know if CB is quite that unrestricted, because you obviously have to have more of an interest in it to actually go out and get a radio and start broadcasting on it. Usually you're on the road, and of course, you can't connect to anybody throughout the world. You can only connect to people who are fairly local. And on an interstate highway, that's probably a bunch of truckers as they stay within a few miles of each other. So, you know, it's more of a close-knit group, but there's still a good amount of nonsense that goes on. People like to, you know, say all kinds of things on the radio. All right. One of the things, imagine this. Most truck drivers are male, but there are a number of females as well. But there are all kinds of antics that are perpetuated, in this particular case, by male truck drivers. Imagine driving down the highway, and you hear this as people are discussing various things, like, you know, where the bears are and where the latest accident occurred, or various other trivia. You hear this voice that keeps repeating over and over again in a whisper, "I'm not wearing any panties." You hear that on the CB radio, and this is what the truckers have to deal with. Is idiots that do things like this. So this person is doing this over and over again, and apparently everybody has heard this person saying he's not wearing any panties, like anybody cares. But it happens so much. And this could be a legend. This could be one of those trucker legends. But the story goes that one trucker was home sleeping, and his wife, in an attempt to entice him into, well, let your imagination take that one away, whispers in his ear, "I'm not wearing any panties." And he basically just turns over half asleep and says, "Shut up, stupid," and goes back to sleep. And that's trucker humor for you right there. But it's pretty damn funny, and we all thought it was a riot down there at that bar. And that's the kind of thing that that you're exposed to. Right then. So, the Midwest, hamventions, traveling, that's what I've been exposing myself to in the last few days. Basically, It's a 12-hour trip from New York. Maybe more in the van because it doesn't go up those mountains quite as fast as it should. And it's always a pleasant surprise when it arrives. Keep in mind, this van was built in 1981, old phone company van. No real major engine work ever had to be done on it, but still it's nice when it works out. It has been known to break down in the past. It did not break down at all this weekend. And actually, weekend is a bit of a misnomer, too, because we left on Thursday and didn't get back till Monday. Well, I didn't get back till Monday. There were all kinds of problems with other vehicles. We went down with this guy you might know from the other radio show, Bernie S., and his car broke down on the way back from in Wheeling, West Virginia. Wonderful city. Very nice place. We were wandering around there looking at the new bridge that they just opened up over the river. And wandering around the streets, wondering, just as we were in Dayton, where are all the people? These very nice streets, in some areas anyway, but very few people wandering around them. It's rather strange. And then after wandering around Dayton, or rather Wheeling on the way back, Bernie's car wasn't able to start, so we had to pile even more people into the van. This was a van that was packed with T-shirts and back issues that we hadn't sold. And we had to pile a bunch of people into the back area, which had no seats. You had to sit on the floor. Two people could ride in the front. Everybody else had to ride in the back. It was a real cattle car experience. But somehow you get through these hardships when it's part of an adventure. So, yeah, you know, you could complain. You could say, oh, this is not the comfort I'm used to. Or you could say, you know, this is roughing it for sure. This is an experience that... that I'll remember for the rest of my life. That's what traveling should be. But it amounted to me having to make a bypass trip to Philadelphia and then back up to New York. So by the time I got back to New York, it was dawn on Monday. And I was wandering around various parts of Manhattan. I had to drop a couple of people off there. In fact, I dropped one person off in Brooklyn. And then I had to head back here. But the thing is, and I don't know why exactly this is, there are rules that exist, that prevent commercial vehicles from getting on certain highways. And the 2600 van has commercial plates. Now, it's not an 18-wheel truck. Obviously, you don't want those in parkways, as I described once. When they hit bridges, it's pretty spectacular. The bridges just aren't high enough for those kind of things. But the van is no problem at all. In fact, there are SUVs out there that are many times bigger than the van. And they have residential plates, so they're okay. But, our van has commercial plates. It's not okay. I don't understand the rationale behind it at all. I mean, there are buses on some of the highways that we're not allowed on. And they're certainly pretty big and tall. So I was on the Jackie Robinson Parkway, which was formerly the Interborough Parkway, heading from Brooklyn to Queens. And I realized that I was on a road I wasn't allowed to be on. You know, it was a no commercial traffic type of a road. So I got off the road, saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to get off the road. It's dawn. You know what, maybe I'll get a snack. This is the one time a day that McDonald's has something I like. I like McDonald's hash browns, okay, I confessed. And you can only get those in the morning, and I'm never up in the morning. So it was morning time. I was around, you know, lots of McDonald's. I figured I'd go to one of those, get some hash browns, and find the expressway and head back home. Well, it did not prove to be that easy. The first thing I saw when I got off was a sign, believe it or not, a sign on a lamppost that had the McDonald's emblem on it, and it said underneath drive-thru with an arrow. Yeah, it was like it was talking to me. So I said, okay, well, that's a sign from God. I guess I'll follow that sign, get my hash browns, come back, and find the expressway. Or maybe the expressway's down there. Who knows? And so I drove literally a couple of miles, and they kept having those signs every few blocks or so. One of my people actually followed those signs. And I finally found the place, and I pulled in with some difficulty because the van doesn't have power steering. It's a fairly big motor vehicle, and, you know, making sharp turns, especially in those little drive-through lanes, can be a challenge. And so I got to the drive-through, and the window has gaffer tape over it. It's just there. You can see the people are in there. You can see that there's someone who's left their coat there and their purse or whatever, but there's nobody at the window, and there's no way to talk to anybody. And there's gaffer tape on the window. So I found some bizarre abandoned drive-through window in the McDonald's that's still open. And, of course, nobody would come around and tell me just what was going on. I didn't want to park and walk in. I just wanted to, you know, have the ease and convenience of doing something through the window and being on my way. Was not to be. So I had to get back on the road, go back to where I had started, where I first saw the drive-through sign. I should have gotten out and ripped that sign down, though. And then I proceeded to try and find the expressway. This is where I got... You know how occasionally if you have cable TV or satellite, you get a weekend preview, like a free preview of HBO or Showtime or something like that? I got a free preview of Senility, all right? I got to experience what it's like to completely lose your mind and not know where anything is. And I got to tell you, it's a disheartening feeling. Especially when you know you're not supposed to be having that feeling at this particular point in your life. I was driving around all of Queens, getting lost on roads I never knew existed, finding neighborhoods I'd never heard of before. At one point, I was on Queens Boulevard, and Queens Boulevard turned into a little tiny two-lane road, and then seemed to just disappear. And I thought Queens Boulevard would go on forever, but it didn't. It let me down. So then I started driving around other directions, and somehow, even though I was heading east, the street numbers were getting lower. And that didn't make any sense. Then I realized, obviously, I had somehow looped around without realizing I had looped around. Then I went down another street. I couldn't go down the one I wanted to go down because that was one way going the wrong way. I figured if I made the next right turn, I could loop around, but no, that didn't work either. I found myself in a park with no name, that went on forever. I didn't even know Queens had parks. But this was a big park, a big park with hills and joggers and bicyclists and all kinds of scary things like that. And by the time I emerged at the other end of it, I was in a completely different neighborhood. And I always thought the expressway was somewhere in that area, but, you know, I could not find it at all. Could not find it. There were plenty of signs for the parkway, and I always thought the two roads were near each other. But they weren't. They were not. I must have spent a good 45 minutes. And keep in mind, this was without getting very much sleep. I had been driving for about 20 hours at this point, all the way from Dayton down to Philadelphia, stopping in Wheeling for a while, up to New York, going through city streets, dropping people off, that kind of thing. You know, at this point, I was just kind of like calmly accepting the fact that this was some bizarre joke perpetuated by some higher power. I just had to see where it went. So I wasn't getting frustrated. I was just kind of like taking notes, saying, okay, well, this part of my mind isn't working either. Best to just keep moving in this direction and see what happens. I always thought, you know, on the island, and Queens is technically part of Long Island, you can't really get that lost. You always hit a road that you know about at some point. In Suffolk County, I don't think it's really possible to get lost. Eventually, you'll hit 25A or 25 or 27 or the expressway or one of those, or you'll hit the water, and that's a good clue as to where you are as well. Well, eventually I just started driving east. I figured out how to get on a road that was going east. I think it was Hillside Avenue or Jamaica Avenue, one of those. And I knew that went into Nassau County. I didn't know how high up the numbers went, though. They went up to like 277th Street or something. I always thought they went up to about maybe 200. I didn't know they went that high. So I was seeing all kinds of things that I had never imagined. And... Eventually, I saw the color of the buses change, the color of the street signs. The don't walk signs came back. You know, in New York now we have the red hands instead of the don't walk signs. But in Nassau County, they still say don't walk in some neighborhoods. And I realized I was in Nassau County, but there was still no sign of the expressway. I was looking for a single sign that would say expressway this way or 495 or whatever. A lot of signs for the parkway, not a single sign for the expressway. So I just kept heading east, hitting all these traffic lights, wondering just how bad a sense of direction I really had. Finally, it wasn't until Jericho, the town of Jericho, that I saw a sign for the expressway. Actually, the expressway merged with Route 25, which is what I was on, and I was able to get on the expressway, and boy, I was able to gun it for about 30 seconds before I hit the traffic. And was able to limp home at about 20 miles per hour from that point on. So, yeah, I was a bit a bit out of it when I got back, which was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And apparently now, I have catapulted myself into a daytime schedule. Usually I'm on a nighttime schedule, stay up through the night, doing all kinds of things, and wake up late in the daytime. Well, now, it's all messed up, and I'm waking up in the morning. And anyone who knows me knows that's not right. That's not right. You're not supposed to be up in the morning. Well, I'm not supposed to be up in the morning, certainly. There's too many people getting in the way, too many lines to wait on. And, you know, the light is nice. The brightness, I like that. That's good. But I don't know. I just feel kind of strange. So, you know, if you don't overdo it, I know most people would not be able to drive 20 hours without, you know, switching off or something like that, or sleeping, or people would lose it getting lost in Queens for a couple hours like I did. If you look at it as all part of a big adventure, I don't know, I think you can sort of get through it a lot easier. Kind of a microcosm to the world in general, where if you take things too seriously, you'll come to grief. You'll be miserable. But if you just sort of sit back and enjoy the ride and talk with other people along the way. I couldn't do that in the van because my phone's died. That's the other stupid thing I did. I left my chargers at home, so my phone died before I even got to Dayton. I have two phones, actually. They both died. I was completely cut off from everybody. I was able to throw my SIM card into somebody else's phone and make some phone calls that way just to make sure everything was okay, but wasn't able to really stay in contact, which probably is a good thing on occasion. So I had no idea what was going on in the world, no idea what was going on with people that I usually talk to. And now I'm back, and I'm starting to learn some things that are happening. Too late for this show, I won't be able to talk about world events. But I imagine they're pretty much more the same. It's good to get out of the normal routine occasionally. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. The radio show is Off the Wall. In fact, we even have time for a couple of calls if people want to call in, 631-632-WUSB, which is 9872. One other thing I forgot to mention. Out there in that particular part of the world, there's culture in all different unexpected areas. One of the meccas for culture is a place called Waffle House. Yeah, have you ever heard of Waffle House? Not Pancake Cottage or Pancake House, whatever they call it out here. No, Waffle House. That's all that. Well, they just sell waffles, but that's what they're known for. And if you look at their logo, I guess you can go to wafflehouse.com or something. They probably have a website. You can see that it's very plain, just, you know, yellow background, black lettering, I believe. And you can't go out to Ohio or to the Ham Fest without making at least one stop at Waffle House. In fact, I found out this year that the idea for the Ham Fest came while people were sitting in a Waffle House, if you can believe that. So we went to Waffle House in search of inspiration and all kinds of enlightenment. And we found it, too. We found it. The one we went to, it's actually in a place called Huber Heights, I believe. You'll know this one. It's on the interstate. I think it's on I-70. Across the street, they have this car, which is up on a pedestal, really, really, really high up. And it says next to it, Waffle House. And for some reason, there's a car up there. I don't know why there's a car up there. It's part of the whole legendary of the place. But this car, and I've seen it in previous years, this car has become a haven for birds from all over the place. All kinds of birds. If you look up at it, you'll see them flying in and flying out and making errands and socializing and all that kind of thing. It's the place where there's a waiting list for birds to live in for many years. And it's just a real kick to go over there and just stare at it for a while and watch all the activity. And you realize that for years this has been going on. This one space. I don't know when the last time a human was up there. And there's all kinds of other things, too. There's, oh my God, five lines lit. Wow. Okay, let's take some phone calls. There's all kinds of other weird places, too. Like, I saw a place called White Tower, which looked just like White Castle. It was out of business, but it was obviously a ripoff of White Castle. In fact, we're going to post some pictures of what it was like out there in Dayton. A couple of just miscellaneous pictures. So check our website, www.2600.com/offthewall. Look for the show of May 18th, and you'll see pictures of this. Let's take some phone calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Hey, I really enjoyed that story. The Queens, sorry. What time were you, like the detour in Queens, were you trying to avoid? What was the move there?
Well, actually, I was it was rush hour. It was rush hour going the other way.
Right,
but
right.
I was just trying to avoid using non-commercial roads like the Northern State Parkway. You have to use commercial roads when you're driving a commercial vehicle.
Right.
And I've never gotten a ticket for doing it the wrong way, but I didn't want to start then because I probably couldn't put a sentence together the state I was in.
So you guys found enlightenment?
I think so. I found enlightenment. I feel pretty enlightened.
Elaborate, please.
What's that?
Elaborate, please.
Just seeing, you know, different horizons, different ways of life, different people, talking to people that, you know, come from different backgrounds, and seeing another part of the country. It's always enlightening.
And two last things. The birds at the Home Depot last night were awesome. I was in Home Depot, right?
Home Depot birds. The birds that are inside Home Depot, yeah.
Then I walked to the garden section, right?
Uh-huh.
It was like it's open air. And the birds there, and, you know, I think it was a pigeon, but the iridescence of, the, you know, we put pigeons down as a species, you know, but the iridescence of the red was rather beautiful around their neck. and last thing is, the pictures at the prison in Iraq, have you seen those, and where are they available, and are they worth going to see?
No, I saw the pictures. In fact, we talked about the beheading thing last week. We're going to get into more detail about that probably next week.
What's the website I should go to get to view them?
www.2600. Wait, did you talk about the prison things or the Dayton things? The prison pictures.
What do you recommend?
I don't have for which the event.
No, the prison pictures.
The prison pictures. Okay, they're all over the place. If you go to newyorker.com,
okay.
You'll see all kinds of articles and pictures there as well. But there are pictures of videos and things like that. I'll give out some links next week. Let's go to another call. Thanks for that call. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, I just want to say I've been listening to the show for a long time. Love it.
Well, thanks. Where are you calling from?
Melbourne, Florida.
Oh, great. Well, it's good to hear voices from all over the country.
Oh, yeah. Also, sorry for all the noise. But
that's okay.
I also want to say I'm glad to hear the DVD's out, too. So.
Yeah, the DVD. Well, we'll get into detail about that. The Freedom Downtime DVD is actually not quite out yet, but it's going to be out soon. Look on the website. You'll see information about that. Thanks. Thanks for your call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to tell you I've been listening to the old Brain Damage shows.
Oh, yeah, we put those up this week.
And, well, I haven't listened to the new ones yet. Well, the
old ones, the oldest ones.
Yeah, but I was listening to the 1990 ones, and I was just amazed at how close it was to our current situation.
Uh-huh.
Talking about going into the first Gulf War.
Uh-huh.
If that's 91, maybe, but...
Yeah.
And then one of the songs you played on one of those old shows was that Phil Oak song you played today.
Is that so? How about that?
And I thought at the time that it was rather appropriate for...
That's something. History really does repeat itself, even with me.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for your call.
Okay.
Sorry. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm not wearing any panties.
All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, do you know why it is the buttons on a Motorola cell phone are reversed? The end and call button?
You know, that has caused no end of confusion for me. I think they just like to confuse people. I don't know.
Do you think maybe since most of those phones are used in, like, Europe, that it's because of a driving purpose?
That's a theory.
I was just kind of curious. I wonder if there was actually any answer for that. It's a little, you know, a bit of a problem whenever I use a friend's phone. I'm all like, ugh.
Yeah, you always have to, you disconnect by accident or you pick up something you don't want to pick up.
Exactly. I was just wondering if there was any actual thing behind that. But,
well, let's give it to our listeners, and if anybody has an answer for that, write into us, and we'll definitely broadcast it on the air. Thanks for your call, and thanks, everybody, who called in. Our email address, otw@2600.com, and we'll be back again next week with, I guess, more on-topic material. Or maybe not. Who knows? Depends what happens. Look forward to hearing from you, and... we'll listen to each other's voices next week, hopefully. Meanwhile, stay tuned for the Blues Show, which, yes, it's Blues Day, as it is every Tuesday. WUSB Stony Brook, Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Have yourselves a good night here in suburbia.
Mother's got a hairdo to be done. She says that you owe for toys. By the bus stop with a felt pen in the suburban hell, and in the distance a police car to break the suburban.
Where's a policeman when you need one to blame the color TV?